first, let's check in with our regular commentator, Daniel McCarthy, columnist for The Spectator USA, editor of Modern Age, a conservative review, for his take on another week in American politics. G'day, Daniel.
Good morning.
A big week. Robert Mueller, the special counsel, made a surprise appearance yesterday morning your time. Were you surprised by what Robert had to say?
I think he's reiterated, exactly what his report says. And, the controversies that have already been raging over that report weren't really resolved one way or the other by what he said yesterday.
You don't think that he was anxious to emphasize that Donald Trump was not given a clean bill of political health?
Well, that's the new development that is generating a little bit of outrage among conservatives right now, and that many Democrats are sort of emphasizing. I don't think there's a real change here, though. I mean, the report itself, didn't state one way or the other whether, in fact, it explicitly said that it was not drawing a conclusion about obstruction of justice. And Mueller reiterated that yesterday.
Except that he was very careful to say that we concluded that we would not reach a determination one way or another of whether the president committed a crime, but he was emphatic that the report in no way cleared him.
Right. And the controversy here is whether a prosecutor's responsibility is to actively exonerate someone who's under investigation, or whether it's simply to bring charges or not. And the fact that Mueller did not call for charges, is one thing that can be interpreted as an exoneration. Now, one of the things that Mueller emphasized in his remarks yesterday was that he was following the Justice Department's longstanding official policy, going back to the Nixon administration and reiterated by the Clinton administration from two other presidents who faced impeachment or faced sort of legal difficulties, saying that the president cannot be charged by an investigation like this, that the president is immune from prosecution by the federal government. So that's a longstanding policy that's been in place for decades. And by emphasizing it, I think Mueller was saying, this is really a political determination to be made by Congress. It's got to be, if anyone's going to step in here, it has to be Congress. It can't be, the executive branch prosecuting itself.
Now, Dan, Mueller says it's not his job to indict a president. As you say, it's up to Congress. Impeachment isn't on the agenda, according to Nancy Pelosi. But, of course, there are Democrats aplenty who are impatient to do just that.
There certainly are, and we're coming up to an election season, and so there's a lot of political capital to be gained by going out on the campaign trail and emphasizing this, by talking up impeachment. It makes you the strongest Democrat opposing Donald Trump, or at least that seems to be the position of some of the candidates. I think Nancy Pelosi is very crafty. I don't think she wants to put all of her eggs in one basket here. And so she's willing to have a long, drawn-out debate over whether or not to impeach. But to actually go through with impeachment would be a one-shot attempt at resolving the Trump administration. And I think she's more patient than that.
And as you point out, she's probably capable of keeping her troops in order. And she can milk multiple headlines from investigations on several fronts.
That's right. I think, she's happy to have Congress continuing to investigate the Trump administration, not only with respect to Russia and the Mueller report, but really along many different fronts. Anything that an administration official has done that might be unethical or in violation of the law is something that Congress can hold a hearing on and subpoena witnesses and generally stir up more trouble for the administration.
Dan McCarthy is our guest, as is a regular and very pleasurable occurrence for me. So she wants to kill Trump by 1,000 cuts, not by simple decapitation. But you make the point, she can always change her mind.
That's, I think, an important thing to emphasize, is that Nancy Pelosi, for the time being, can hold off. But if she sees that Donald Trump is starting to recover politically, it is always an option that she can then sort of crack the whip on her own party in Congress and begin trying to put together impeachment proceedings in time for later this year or next year. Really, it's her decision.
Dan, there is an interesting development. We've already discussed it this week, and this is Congressman Justin Amash. He believes that, he blasphemes against the faith of the Republicans. He believes it is time to impeach. Tell us your views about the congressman.
Well, Justin Amash is a very interesting figure. He's from, Palestinian and Syrian Christian descent. He's a Republican congressman from the state of Michigan. He was first elected in 2010, somewhat on the back of a wave of support for Republicans along the lines of Ron Paul and the more libertarian-leaning members of the party. In some ways, Amash was elected as kind of a reaction against what had been the George W. Bush administration's agenda in terms of foreign policy and also in terms of executive power and concentrating authority in the White House. So Justin Amash is in some ways acting in a kind of consistent manner right now by criticizing Donald Trump, just as he would have, I think, criticized George W. Bush if he'd been elected while Bush was still in office. And he's something of a maverick among the Republicans. He's an unusual figure, quite apart from his views on impeachment. He's tended to be a lone voice sometimes within his own caucus in Congress.
Well, you describe him as reading laws before he votes on them. Heavens above, almost unheard of.
Well, there is this tendency in the U.S. Congress now for the party leaders to concoct large pieces of legislation and then spring them upon the members of their party, and to give them very little time to read and to contemplate and consider whether or not the laws are actually any good. And Amash has always objected to this and says that he wants to actually read whatever he's voting on before he makes up his mind.
So as you say, he's anything rather than a scheming Machiavellian strategist. You talk about him in a sense as being naive.
I think that's right. He has a sense of, he's a very strong follower of Friedrich Hayek. He believes in rules in an almost Platonic sense. And with respect to impeachment, the importance there is that, the actual substance of what requires or what would trigger Congress to impeach a president is rather vague in the Constitution itself and also traditionally. And Amash is treating it as if it's actually not vague at all, and that any suspicion that the president may have engaged in obstruction of justice would be sufficient to warrant impeachment proceedings. And whether or not those proceedings can succeed in convicting and removing the president from office, Amash believes that it should simply be done as a matter of course.
Dan, has the Donald responded, reacted?
He has. He's been quite critical of Justin Amash, and Amash is facing a lot of pressure and a lot of criticism from other Republicans, although interestingly enough, Amash did a public event in his own congressional district earlier this week, and voters seem to be quite supportive of him. They gave him a standing ovation, although it remains to be seen how many of those voters at this event were Republicans and how many were perhaps Democrats who'd come in to show their support for a lone Republican voice for impeachment.
Does he perhaps have a plan of his own to become a libertarian candidate for presidency?
There's been speculation about that, and Justin Amash has refused to categorically rule out running as a third-party candidate next year, as a Libertarian Party presidential nominee. It seems unlikely. I don't know that Justin Amash is all that eager to make a kind of symbolic but unlikely to be much of a real political factor in next year's contest between Donald Trump and the Democrat. But anything's possible. And it does seem to me that the fact that Amash's congressional district has been relatively receptive to the position he's taken means that he's more likely to get reelected there as a Republican than he is to do anything as a potential Libertarian Party candidate next year.
A final question to you, Dan. In your view, is there a leading cluster emerging of Democrat contenders?
Joe Biden has really held up in terms of keeping his lead over the opposition within his party. And, it's conventional wisdom now to say that Joe Biden is likely to be the nominee. But so far, all the polling indicates that that really is the case. Many of the candidates, people like Beto O'Rourke, have sort of failed to take off. Bernie Sanders seems to be losing a little bit of momentum. And so it's hard to say. We're still very early in the game. But Joe Biden certainly looks like the runaway favorite right now.
Thank you, Daniel, for your thoughts and insights. Daniel McCarthy, columnist for The Spectator USA, editor of Modern Age, a conservative review.